Did you hear my plumbing story this morning?
Pardon?
Or both of you. Dennis Erth, plumber Dennis Erth. He said that he worked with both of you guys doing
He was your plumber.
He was your plumber. Pointing at each other like it's something bad.
You referred him to me. Oh, and he did plumbing at my place on Melrose after he did your place.
Such a nice guy.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
He worked with us yesterday. Oh, for heaven.
Well, speaking of homes, we want to talk about how long you think you're going to live in your home. Because some people have an emotional connection to their home that...
Most people do, yes.
Wow.
I very much agree with
Once
that.
Once again, I'm the exception. Even when I love them. But yeah. I thought of it because a friend was planting trees at his home and said, they'll be mature in about 20 or 25 years, which means he plans to stay there for 20 or 25 years.
And be alive.
And be alive, right?
That's why realtors aren't supposed to sell their own homes, because they're emotionally attached.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very hard to sell it because you want to
get the
right, exactly.
We had a deal. Some people are like that. My friend who was in real estate just sold her place, and she sold it in one day and went right to her new apartment condo. Yeah. And it looks like the old place, and she did it in 3 weeks. The whole thing.
Yeah. Crazy. So that, among other things, coming up on the Kathy and Judy show. Nice
Very
to
cool.
see you guys again.
Thanks, guys.
Right now, it's coming up. Oh, it's not coming up on 10 o'clock. We slid by 10 o'clock.
Call me
here. Here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. And now it is time, past time, for the news. Hey, Kath.
Hey, Jude.
Good rainy morning to you. I just said I feel so bad for people who may be coming through Chicago or visiting Chicago, and this is their day. You just go, come back in a couple days. It's so pretty when the sun is shining. Although the boxes on Michigan Avenue, the flower boxes on Michigan Avenue are...
They're like the Netherlands.
Spectacular, yeah.
The tulips are dense and
quite
spectacular.
Beautiful.
And other than Millennium Park... I mean, our Art Institute has been named the best art institute in the country. And you can go on an architecture
tour.
The
best art museum, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
This was about 5-6 months ago.
Beyond the Met?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
And you can go on
that.
The architecture tour, and they have a roof over, they'll put a roof over your head.
And you can, I should put that video up on our Kathy and Judy page. I went down to the Cultural Center yesterday to see the Strand Beasts, and you can, I'll put the information up on the page. These are constructions that a man in the Netherlands makes, and they are like animals made of... What are those things called that we used to play with?
Tinker toys.
With the sticks and the things.
Uh-huh.
And they move. And you can go to the cultural center and walk one of these things.
Walk a
that's
beast.
Three times bigger than you are. They're called strand beasts, which means beach animals or beach beasts. And they're really quite spectacular. Another cool thing about Chicago inside.
And also inside Harold Washington Library.
Yes.
I just went there
we
Friday.
We should be telling the people on the street.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And also inside, but they'd have to have a car, was the, this week I saw the corpse flower.
Oh,
up
at Botanic.
And it opened up 2 days after I saw it. And I was dying to smell the stinky, horrible thing. And apparently it opened up at 2 a.m. and the stink begins to fade and it only lasts for 8 hours. And you should see how massive this is.
Is there there has to be a scientific reason for that. It must attract something. Maybe flies or something to have that horrible smell. There has to be a scientific reason for it. And I don't know what it would be.
Well,
but we're thinking on that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, of course there is.
But we don't know what it is. If you do, let us know.
I'm trying to Google. I'm trying as fast
okay.
as I can.
312-981-7200 is our number. We try to repeat it often so that you can call us or you can text us on any topic. This is the show that's focused on talking to you, not on talking to guests or famous people or whatever. So give us a call. The topic that we mentioned when we were talking with Lindsay earlier was your home. And I just thought of it because I lived, I don't think I've lived any longer than, I want to say 10 years in any one place.
Your whole life except for when you were a kid.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I don't think I have. And while I have loved every place that I have lived, condo, home, whatever, when it was time to go, when it was time to move on or change my situation, I did not have a huge emotional, sentimental leave-taking. I remember the last night when I lived on Melrose. I had my condo on Melrose, which I loved. Actually, I lived there for 20 years. I loved that place. I had great parties in that place. I had people I loved in that place. And the night before I left, it was empty. The furniture was gone. And I walked through it with a video camera. I just took video of it. And maybe, I don't know, within the last year, I finally deleted the video. I remember what that place looked like. So the thing that made me think about this was a friend who just planted a row of trees because he said he was excited that they would be mature in 20 years. And I thought, wow, that's a long time to say I'm living in this house for 20 years. So I'm just interested in people's feedback on that.
We moved a lot and picked up and went not only to a new house, but to another country. Like in 7 years, we had three houses. And I just figure where my couch was my house. You know, that was it. And of course, we were renters. And the only hard move I had was moving up to the suburbs after I'd been living
in the
down,
city.
In the
right.
city. Were we still working full time then? I can't really remember. But no, we weren't. Yes, we were.
Well, whatever.
We were. So so the commute was going to be longer. I couldn't walk to work or something, and I was sad about that. But it feels instantaneously at home. I've never lived in a place. I think it makes a difference if a home has been in your family a long time that you would be loath to leave it.
Well, one of our girlfriends has already texted us and said, been in my house for 50 years. I will leave in a body bag. Husband did all the masonry, stone fireplace. Father-in-law did the concrete. Five dogs buried in the backyard. Well, I think I have two or three cats buried in the yard at Princeton, which I'm still hoping to sell. And I loved that place. I loved my house in Princeton. I loved my garden. I loved my neighbors.
But you're happy wherever you go.
When I hit 70, I thought I'm too far away from my kids. I'm too far away from my family, and moved in closer. So give us a call or send us a text, 312-981-7200. Have you lived in your house for a long time? Can you imagine that you would ever go? This is Betty. Hi, Betty.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Kathy and Judy. So good to talk to you. I love listening to you.
Thank you.
I'm in my house in Arlington Heights. It'll be 41 years in June.
Okay. And
can you imagine leaving?
I'm getting to the point. I'm around your age, and I would like a ranch house.
Right. So I know several people our age who say the same thing. I need less room. I need less levels, or I need fewer levels. And
right.
Exactly.
And do you have a basement too, Betty?
Pardon?
Do you have a basement as well?
I actually have five levels in my house because I have a sub basement.
Oh my god!
A family room level.
Oh, you got to get rid of four floors.
Kitchen, bedroom and a dormer.
Oh my goodness!
And that's a lot. And I've started clearing out last year, hoping to maybe try and sell this year, but I have too much more to do.
Yeah, this day, this weekend, I'm working on these 6 square feet. And just start packing up and throwing out. Yeah. So 41 years, that's quite a record. Betty, thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Good to talk to you, girl.
Thanks. 312-981-7200, and this is Peggy.
Hi, good morning, girls. How are you?
All right. You just moved.
I did. My husband and I just on Wednesday, we decided to sell our condo in Evanston. We've been there for 10 years. And it was supposed to be a one-year experiment, and the real estate market tanked when we were there. And we were never underwater, but I just couldn't in good conscience sell that place for less than we paid for it. So we waited and waited and waited. We sold it in February, and we are renting in Elmhurst now, in real near to one set of our grandkids, with the intention of moving, buying some place in a warmer climate and maybe doing the snowbird thing. But I can still relate to, on some level, like feeling exactly what Kathy said. It's like you live where you live and you invest in it and you love it. And then when it's time to go, you do your best to like say your goodbye to that place and that neighborhood and move on.
I think that's harder for some people than it is for us, Peggy. I think that's really hard for some people.
And I think it's hard for me, too. I mean, we leave behind wonderful friends and neighbors in our old neighborhood, but we're not that far away. It's not
right.
Like
and if they're wonderful friends, they'll remain wonderful friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. So all right. That's what I mean.
You can be a blessing, and it can also be a challenge, but you just embrace it and try to move on, and hopefully it's always good.
Right. So, and thank you, Peggy. The closets are always new. You don't have 20 years of crap in your closet.
And sometimes your stuff looks better in the new place than in the other place.
Right.
Or something just all of a sudden lights up and it's got a new place of prominence.
Right.
And it's, yeah.
312-981-7200. Back after this. And that's what we're talking about. Not necessarily home, even though that's where you live. Your house and what kind of emotional attachment you have to it. I've moved into an old house, but a new house for me. I love it. I loved my last house. I loved the condo before that. I really have loved every place I've lived, but I don't have the connection to it that a lot of people do. On the text line, my father, who lives in Canton, Ohio, will be celebrating the 40th year in their house. We moved there when I was 8 years old, and so far it doesn't look like my father plans on moving out anytime soon. Lots of memories, and this relates to a topic we covered a couple weeks ago. My siblings and I have discussed that when my father passes away, who is going to keep the house? Because we all want the house to stay in the family. Lots of great memories, great neighborhood. The house is still in good condition. Go back and listen to our podcast from a couple weeks ago, because that's often a challenge when several siblings own a property together.
But my grandma's house did not stay in the family, and that is the house I'm most attached to, and it is so sad to drive past it. It was a two-story, big, white, beautiful house, and it is run down and foreclosed, like nobody lives there.
Right.
And it is so sad because there were so many great memories there.
Yep, it happens.
When you're rich and famous, Kristen, you can go back and buy that house.
And I will remodel it to look exactly like it did when my grandma
lived there. Get the property brothers to come in.
Aren't they cute?
Aren't they, though?
Oh.
Yeah. Jean.
Yes.
Tell us your house story.
My house story has a little twist because my husband and I built this house about a little over 20 years ago. It's a 5-bedroom, 3.5 bath.
Wow.
It was basically our dream house. We had 3 girls at the time, and then my mom was also living with us, so we definitely needed the space. Well, my husband passed away about 7 years ago, and obviously then my children have gotten older and moved away and that. So it's just me and my young son really left. And the interesting thing about the story is that my middle daughter got married a couple years back. She had a child, and she's pregnant right now with her second child, and her husband and her have decided to purchase my home for me for their growing family.
Are you planning to stay there?
For a little while until I decide what I want to do, you know.
How old is your young son?
My youngest is 11, so he was a little bit later in life baby.
Okay.
But we'll probably be moving in a few years because I want to move to a different school district for him for high school.
Jean, so, when's the daughter and the son-in-law moving in?
They actually already live there with me. So
And so do you.
Yeah, and so do I.
How's that working out?
You know what? It's been fabulous. We help each other out. You know, my daughter obviously was used to having other family members in the home with my mother lived with us.
So I was surprised that my son-in-law was okay with it, and it's actually worked out pretty well. We all get along, and we all help each other out. And it's been a great use of the space. Otherwise, I would have had this huge home with just two people. So,
okay. You know. Well, that's an interesting process. Good luck to all of you.
It is.
And when you get your own kitchen back, it'll really be nice.
For you and your daughter-in-law. Jean, thanks for the call. And we'll wrap it up with Anne. Hi, Anne.
Hi. Hi. We are in our home. This is the first home we've owned. I've loved living here. We've been here for 19 years, but it's a 6-bedroom and there are two of us.
Oh, Lord.
So we need to downsize.
Right. That's too much house.
And as we're depersonalizing it, this is the secret. Our realtor told us you need to completely paint the whole house interior. We did the interior all in one color.
Right. All neutral.
Light gray.
Right.
Take all your pictures down.
Yep.
And pack all of that away.
Yeah.
Start setting up your furniture so that it looks for people who are coming in, not for your own family. And I have loved this house. But our daughter looked at it and she said, Mom, don't you feel kind of sad that you're leaving and we're going to stay in the area, but you're leaving and it's looking so good now. And I said, it really doesn't bother me because it's not really ours anymore.
Right.
We just
You've made the decision.
Sell.
Right.
The you of you is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good. Is it on the market yet?
It will be next week.
Okay. Well, good luck. I hope it sells faster than mine.
Well, the houses out here are selling the realtor said if it doesn't sell within 3 weeks, it's overpriced.
Where are you?
The houses we're in Southern California.
Oh, okay.
And
do you listen to us from Southern California?
My Bose radio has internet radio, and so I listen to Chicago stations all the time.
Oh, that's and you're going to move back here or move
no,
out there?
No, we have kids out here. We have two daughters out here all
okay.
the time. And so we're staying out here. I mean, when we talked about maybe going to the Midwest, my husband said, but it snows there.
I know, but you'd be so rich here after selling your house in Southern California.
Right.
Well, we have good family in the Midwest also, and we visit. We try to visit at times when it's not snowing.
There you go, you chicken. All right, and good luck with the house.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Was there a famous Seinfeld zit show?
I don't know that there was, but Julia Louis-Dreyfus was such an essential part of that show.
She was.
That, right.
She was. Yeah. And I don't know why they wouldn't do one about zits, because
it's
a show about
universal,
nothing.
Right.
Except one, if you have a zit, which still can happen when you're in your 70s. This is like such a heartbreak.
Except aren't they then called boils?
No, I've never had a boil.
Have you ever had a zit since I've known you in the last 20 years?
Aren't they called ingrown hairs?
Uh-huh. They're usually not zits. They're usually something else.
Well, all I can say is all of us grew up, and even people with the best complexions would every now and then get, you know, some monster on their chin or the middle of their forehead or the middle. I think the worst place is on your cheek, because then it just...
As opposed to nose? I think nose is a... And it always would sort of go right to the middle.
I think you're cheap. Because then you're sort of ruined for your profile. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Not that I was worried about profiles. But I had bad skin as a kid. But an inopportune zit at the wrong moment is really all you think you are is a walking zit. It's as if, you know, and when I have seen somebody with a zit, I feel bad for them because I know that they're feeling rotten and defined by one zit.
Am I getting projection here?
Well, when you had a zit, didn't you feel defined by
a zit? I haven't had a zit for a long time.
No, when you were young.
Oh, when I was young.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But
I think it depends on how big it is.
And where the
quarter
placement.
Size.
Yeah, and
that's
the placement.
All you are. Right, and the placement. Right.
Because I still have acne. And
you do?
Yeah.
I didn't notice it.
I never noticed it.
Well, great. My makeup covers it up nicely.
And that great hair.
Your ovation head. Ovation
right.
head.
There you go.
So I thought it'd be fun to hear stories of, and you know, of your zit moments that you remember from your youth, or even worse, if you were in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, or 70s. 80-year-olds could call us.
312-981-7200
is the number. And I used to, I could never decide whether it was better to pop that and get it going, because sometimes you really reinfect yourself, or I couldn't leave it alone. It isn't a wonderful world when you have a zit. How did that happen? I don't know. Anyway, that's what
that was my fault. I was looking up the Animal House. I'm a zit sketch.
Oh, yeah.
I have my pot up. Sorry.
312-981-7200. You can text us or you can call us.
Right.
And the topic is zits, right?
Zits.
Okay.
Yeah. And they do happen to everybody.
So when Julia Louis-Dreyfus had a zit as president, even though the show is called Veep, she's now president.
Mm-hmm.
That was a recent show. That
it was last week.
Okay.
And in an article I read about it, it said Julia Louis-Dreyfus was growing a zit described as a, quote, masterwork of acne, so massive it seemingly caused the stock market to crash in the middle of a presidential news conference. She referred to it as Zitzilla.
On the text line, I am a dermatologist. I was once paged New Year's Eve day for an emergency pimple.
What could a person do for the emergency
pimple? I have
pimple?
No idea. I don't know that there's... I suppose
that
sounds
so Hollywood.
Well, I suppose that a doctor could lance it. But then you still have the remains. You still have evidence of it.
Right.
But I think a doctor doing it might... allay any infection issues.
You could do that thing they always said. For redness in your face, you have to put a little color of green. It balances out the red. So I bought myself a tube of green cream or whatever it was, like if you were really wearing a lot of makeup. And mine just looked green instead of red.
Hmm.
I just, you know. You're laughing
no,
at me.
I'm not. I just... Why did you buy green?
Because that's the color that offsets red.
Where's red in your face?
This is like a concentrated red, like that surrounds a zit.
When did you have? I do not remember ever seeing a zit on your face.
Not since I've known you, like in my 20s or something.
Oh,
you know, when I was still striving.
All right,
not that I've given up on myself.
312-981-7200. Susan, you can relate.
Hi, I love you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're back.
We are too. Thanks.
My face broke out for my wedding.
Oh, God. A lot or like one major?
Yeah, enough. And my uncle, who never had a filter.
On his phone. You mean his camera? Oh, he didn't have a personal filter like me. Okay.
He didn't have a filter.
And what did he say?
Being subtle. He just blurted right out, so did you get a case of the measles for your wedding?
You know what, Susan, so did you overdo on the makeup? Did you just slather it on?
Or just keep the veil over your face for the whole time?
I did some cover up, and you know, but it was still noticeable.
And did you?
It was okay.
Was it recent enough that Photoshop could help the pictures look like you didn't look so bad?
Oh, no, that was back in 1970.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
So you don't look at your wedding album a lot?
No, but it was okay because my husband decided, my husband-to-be decided not to wash his hair that day because he didn't want it flopping in his face. So he has this really, really awful greasy hair.
Well, you are quite the handsome couple.
Can you send us that picture?
Will you send us a picture, Susan?
Sure.
Send us a picture.
My email address is kdecker@wgnradio.com, and we'll post it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, Susan, thanks.
Oh,
I am struck.
Thank you.
I got a new TV when I moved, and It's an HD.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so much more HD than any TV I've ever had. And I am amazed at many people on television, including newscasters, who appear in non-HD to be quite attractive and have quite lovely skin. They have horrible skin.
Who did you see that?
Well, I'm not going to name names.
Well, it's an actor. You don't know him.
No, local newscasters.
Oh.
That there are just bumpy, a lot of bumps on their face, and you can see just makeup slathered on. I remember once seeing one of the Kardashians in HD, and it was the one that's a model. Is it Kelly or Kylie
Kendall.
Or Kindy or Kendall?
Kendall, yeah.
She had horrible skin. And I just think HDTV doesn't just say this is how a person looks. It's almost like a sharpening of how they look.
But I think TV makeup, even on a Kardashian, I think TV makeup is so thick. And
yeah.
So that it can make your skin worse
really,
than it would
exactly.
have been if you're just like a regular, you know, human.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel bad for some of these people. This is Jacqueline. Hey, Jacqueline.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question for you, ladies. When you know that you have a pimple, like glaring out,
mm-hmm.
what do you respond to people when they point it out to you? You know, what kind of, you know, callback? Because I've had that happen more than once. And, you know, like you try to cover it up and you know you got that feeling that everybody's staring at you. And when they do say something, what's a good comeback?
You know what?
I can't imagine. Like, what does somebody say to you? An example would be, did you know you have a giant zit that you have cover up on?
Exactly. Exactly.
Who are your friends? God.
Who would say that?
These were co-workers.
Okay. I
don't work with them anymore.
Once heard a comeback line that is so perfect for this or for so many other things when people say something that's totally out of line or totally inappropriate. And that's to pause a second and say, you know, I thought you just said, did you know you have a huge zit on your face? And then just leave it lying there. And then the person could either say, no, you must have misunderstood me, or I'm sorry. That
oh
was
my God.
But
I
to
would
just say,
squirm
I
with
could
anxiety.
I could swear you just told me that I look fat.
Yeah.
And then you just leave it sit there.
Oh, my God.
Hold on to that, Jacqueline.
That's a good answer.
All
I'm
right.
I'm going to file that in my comebacks.
All right. Okay, yeah. Jacqueline. 312-981-7200 is our number.
I'm a zit. Get it?
Oh, that was in the Animal House when they started a food fight, and Belushi had a mouthful of mashed potatoes. And went,
oh,
I'm a zit. Get it?
Okay, we're going to talk to Cheryl. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. We're talking about zits, and you have a zit story.
I know. I said great topic on such a gloomy darn day. Anyway,
there you go. You can count on Kathy and Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good to hear you back on the WGN. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Well, no one else hired us, so this is where we would be for sure. Okay, so what's your zit
anyhow,
story?
I think one up on acne is always that darn fever blister. If you were lucky kid to inherit that line from your dad or whatever, you know. Nothing worse than a school picture day when you have a fever blister on your lip.
What grade were you in?
Oh, gosh. Which time? I mean.
Oh, it showed up on picture day more than once?
Oh, fever blisters, you know, it seemed like it was more common when I was a little kid, and I'm about 70, almost 70 now. But anyway, nowadays, they have stuff that you can kind of...
Well, wait a minute. Isn't a fever blister a little herpes on your mouth?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was a pimple on your lip.
No, it's a herpes.
No,
it's a mild form
a
of herpes.
Thing.
Right.
And, of course, you're labeled right off the bat. You know, all the kids at school know that that's not something that everybody gets. But back then they didn't have stuff that you could use.
You know the best stuff for it, Cheryl? Because I had one about 2 weeks ago, is you ice it as much as you can as you feel it coming. And if you intermittently ice it for like 2 hours, it doesn't really do much of anything.
But they've even got those nice little tubes and stuff that you can get that keep really are amazing. They can kind of wipe it away in about 3 days' time. But back when I was a little kid, they didn't have that stuff. And of course, the fever blister, your lip swells up like that.
Right.
I know.
Right. And nowadays, they could just Photoshop it. And I think they do that with photographs now. Cheryl.
Thank you.
Take care of those fever blisters.
Indeed, I will.
All right. Thanks. 312-981-7200. Our previous caller said, what do you say to somebody who says something like, did you know you have a big zit on your nose? And I said, the great comeback I've always heard is you say to somebody, whatever it is, you know, I thought you just said,
did I have a zit?
Right.
I have a zit
and one of our girlfriends from 815 Land said, I heard of this comeback. Why would you ask me that? That's a good one, too. If somebody's going to be so in your face and ask such an offensive question, I don't see anything inappropriate about responding and saying, why would you ask me that? So
I agree.
312-981-7200 is our number. This is Rhonda.
Hi, not your real name or really Rhonda?
I can't tell you my real name.
All right.
It wasn't mine, but this person that I knew, this friend of ours, had an enormous whitehead on the tip of her nose. By the time it finally died, it had to have been like between 4 and 5 millimeters.
How big is that in real space? Well,
I know. I actually,
is that like a half an inch?
Oh God, no. I would say it's more like a 16th of an inch. You know, but
oh, okay.
Big when it's on the tip of your nose,
right?
And it was high and shiny, and it was just there, and it was so hard to not stare at it when you talk to her. It's like it was like the 800-pound gorilla sitting on her nose, you know. And it's funny because I went to the same high school that Jim, Belushi went to, mm-hmm. and I often wondered if that might not have been his inspiration.
Her whitehead, I mean, her zit.
Her whitehead.
Oh gosh!
I mean, couldn't say anything, you know. I mean, so the polite thing, of course, is to totally ignore it. And, you know, but I mean, it was like, it was just there pointing at you, you know?
How many years since that happened and you're still
by a ring of red, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, and it wasn't just me, but no one wanted to talk about it, but it was just there, you know? Like it was another presence in the
room. I think you're haunted, Rhonda.
There
I think
you
you're
go.
Haunted by a 40-year-old zit.
No, I don't know, but I mean, every time you mentioned that, and I thought, you know, I mean, people really don't want to talk about such things. I can't imagine, but I flashed back to that. And then when you said Belushi, I thought, well, see, I bet now, you know, I'm going to get a call from somebody
in high school
who recognizes your voice. It happens all the time.
Because it was so traumatic. Listen, you guys, thanks for being and take care. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you, Rhonda. Thank you. And this is Marsha. Hey, Marsha.
Hi. You guys are bringing back some horrific memories for me. I suffered with acne all through high school and everything. I am now 65 years old. About 10 years ago, I went to dinner with my sister, and the waitress, who was a 20-something girl, came up to me, and she goes, oh, your skin. She goes, do you know, I carry a line of skin cleaners and skin stuff.
Oh my God.
That will totally help you.
Oh my God. A person you did not know.
A person I didn't. She was a waitress.
I would report her to the manager. I would be
100 miles away from where I was. Afterwards, I just looked at my sister and I go, I am mortified that she would even have the guts
right.
to something like that up when she's serving a customer.
Yikes.
So
amazing.
I've totally forgotten about it until you guys started talking about it.
Sorry. Oh, God. Don't go back into therapy. Oh, it's not worth it.
Marcia, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
And this is Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hey, girlfriends. How are you?
All right. You got to turn your radio down, Tim.
I don't have it on.
Okay. All right. What's your standard comeback?
My standard comeback, because I get one about every other month on the side of my nose, I just tell them that I'm going through puberty again.
Okay. How does that work?
At 66, it's pretty funny.
Okay. All right, Tim, thanks.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Facebook. I'm hooked on Facebook.
This is a Facebook topic. I know a lot of our girlfriends are on Facebook because a lot of you come to our Kathy and Judy page on Facebook, and some of you aren't, and for those of you, go out and sweep off your deck or whatever for the next couple minutes. This is about a Facebook-only phenomenon, and that is liking. When you are on Facebook and you post something, and this came up this week with a friend of mine who had said, I posted something and there were no likes. And we figured it out, why that happened, because it hadn't been publicly posted. It had been privately posted. And
you can say it was me.
Okay, it was Judy. I posted something and I don't have any likes.
Picture of a corpse flower up on our Facebook page.
Okay, I just didn't want to violate. I didn't want to violate your privacy if that was something you'd rather
not talk
about.
And I couldn't believe people weren't sort of dazzled by the corpse flower. And I felt like the only person in America.
And the truth is that many people could have been dazzled by it. Many people could have liked the post, but didn't hit the like button. So on Facebook, well, if you're on Facebook, you know this. I had somebody say to me a couple weeks ago, well, I know she doesn't like me because she never likes any of my posts.
Oh, I would never feel that way.
And I am not a liker. I don't do that very much. And I am starting to get kind of paranoid about liking. And
why?
I know, just because I think, are there people who think I don't like them because I didn't put a like on their Facebook post? And I don't keep track because since I became aware of this, sometimes I'll look and it'll say 16 likes. And I think, oh, okay, that's great. Well, I don't go in and see who they were. I don't check that out.
I don't usually either.
And it seems like just another place in the world.
To feel rotten about.
To feel crummy.
Okay, now, in all fairness, because it was me, I hadn't done, and this is like, for you Facebook guys, I didn't know about this, and Kathy told me there's a little funny icon up at the top, upper right, and when you have sent something, you have to check
check your post.
Check that I had sent it just to myself.
Right. When you post something, just underneath your post, right next to where it says post, there are options. Public, friends, only me, more options. And Judy had somehow managed to make it be only me rather than public.
Yeah, that's kind of exclusive.
All right. So the second thing is, after you made it public, how did that work out?
Not that many likes.
Oh, okay. But the way you say it indicates to me that you felt bad about that.
No,
that there weren't that many likes.
When there were no likes, I felt bad. But I'm not like a lot of people that I know, not our age, but people who are waiting for the likes to come in.
Right.
And really monitor that to make sure that they're getting, I'm sure I'll get 100 likes on this
one. And there was an ad. There was a series of ads, and I can't even remember what phone it was for. But these two guys two geeks were traveling around the country, and they're in the car, and the geek who was in the passenger seat posts. He said, well, I just posted something. And then he's looking at his phone. He says, I already have 100 likes. And it's just, well, here, this is Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Yeah.
How do you relate to this?
Oh, because when I post on somebody else's page and it's like a like, it should be an acknowledgement that a person, saw your comment. or...
Okay, so if you come, if somebody posts something and then you are one of 12 commenters, you feel that the person who originally made the post should automatically hit like on every comment just to, rather than to saying, I like this comment, just to say, I acknowledge that you commented.
Right, or make an additional comment.
Oh, Sherry.
Oh, no.
How do you keep,
never be off Facebook.
Do you keep track of this?
Well, no. It's just that there's one particular person who I know is on Facebook all the time. And when I go on their page occasionally, which isn't often, and I make a comment, and it is just... not mentioned, you know, just, you
it's
know,
just there. You commented.
And they just don't do, you know, or like the other, you know, the most common thing is, you know, when you have a birthday and people, you know, post their comments, you know, happy birthday. And I think it's just polite to at least say like to that, you know, to say, okay, I've read it.
Wow.
Ooh, you are tough, Sherry.
Wow, you are tough. That I mean, I if you ever post on my page, I'm not going to automatically like it just to acknowledge it.
Well, if you have a, you know, on your page, you probably would have like, you know, 200.
No, we don't always.
Happy birthday wishes. You know, in that case, I could understand. But I mean, this is talking about, you know, very small community and a person who is actively surfing Facebook, but just plain not, you know, trying to be as invisible as possible. And I just, you know, I think it's,
I don't think it's like a thank you note.
I think it's good manners to just acknowledge when somebody, you know, actually tries to communicate with you to say, I, you know, okay, I read it, you know?
So for you, it's not necessarily a like, it's just to say, oh, I read your comment.
Yeah, you know, thanks for posting. I mean, I stopped posting on that person's page.
Okay, well, maybe they're grateful.
Their last birthday was unacknowledged.
Okay, so for you, it's an acknowledgement.
Yeah, and just, you know, a bit, you know, kind of politeness and
okay. All right. Well, we appreciate the call, Sherry.
I'm speechless about that. I think that those are high standards.
And Chris agrees.
Yours.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, she's just over the border.
Well, I mean, she's different. She may be different than you are. She just that's what she has set up in her head. That liking,
she's gonna be disappointed her whole life.
No kidding. No kidding.
You just put it out there if they like it. Oh wow, someone liked it. And if they don't, I don't really care.
I like it if I like it. If somebody posts something or if somebody makes a comment that I wish I had made or then I'll like it.
But otherwise, I just read it and think, oh, wow, that was good, or move on.
Right. And it's interesting because some people just like they just hit like all the time.
If someone's a frequent poster, I stop and I have liked some of their stuff. If they're like a frequent Facebook poster, I give up.
It's tiring.
I actually have a friend that likes everything. And I've had other friends comment saying, who is that person that likes everything you post?
Right. Exactly. They're serial likers. That's what they are. All right, Chris. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
312-981-7200. We're talking about serial likers on Facebook. This is Barbara. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a real problem with like because my computer... Something is not working right. It won't let me like anything. It unlikes everything. And so,
What do you mean? If there's unlikes. No unlike,
I click the like because somebody has said something that I really don't want to respond to. Although I really liked what they said.
Yeah. Okay.
I find myself then having to type something in there because I can't like it. If I click like, unlike, and I think I can't have it.
If you hit like and it comes up unlike, that usually means that you've already liked it.
No, it doesn't.
It means take your like away.
Guys, I keep hearing you guys just talk about likes. Do you does everybody know that you can?
There's new emoticons now.
Right. Put new
there's
emotions to things.
There's like, there's love, there's sad, that makes me mad, that
I will
makes
never
me cry.
Stoop to an emoticon.
That changed. I was not a liker, but that changed my life because now I either will love stuff or I'll be mad about it. But I never would just like things because like, so if someone only would say, like, my mother died, I would never like that. But if they would post that now, I might put a little sad face.
Ooh, and now Kristen. That's and like, that, so it's like, my mother died. Here's a cartoon.
All right.
I am sad.
Barbara, thanks for the call, and maybe go talk to the Geek Squad.
I think I better.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Back with more of your calls and texts. This week on Chicago's Best, it's all about those little round delights to satisfy some big appetites. Join Brittany and Elliot for Chicago's Best Balls Sunday night.
They didn't have to call it that. They didn't.
They didn't. Let's say Chicago's Best Meatballs Sunday night.
Oh, see, I thought matzo balls.
Oh, those little round delights to satisfy. Yeah, come on.
It's some copywriters.
Join Brittany and Elliot on Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV.
And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now. You like me.
We're talking about likes. Likes on Facebook. For some people, like our first caller, it's huge. It's if she posts something, a comment, and the person under whose comment she posted it doesn't like it, she gets herself upset. Now, speaking of getting upset, this is ever since we've had our zip whip, our text lines here on WGN. You can text us or you can call us. Generally, there are people, and you're certainly welcome to be negative. We're certainly bound to say things that annoy you from time to time. But every now and again, when you see a text that's just ultra mean, it's interesting to go back and see the history of every text that person has ever posted.
Oh, can you do that?
Because we can do that. So this morning, this person at 847 was critical of our topics. And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. And then I go back to look at their other topics. Bunch of greedy a-holes. No one thought to ask. Blank is ultra annoying today. Every single text that person sends is negative. How do I call a number, Kristen? Do I have to dial one first? Because we have your number here too. Let's see if this person answers the phone.
This is like the good old days. I'm liking this.
I didn't have to dial 9 first. Where's Gohan? All right, let's see if anything happens here. Excellent.
Come on, talk to us in person.
Come on, have some balls. It was in a commercial.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Man or woman, do we think?
William Minetti.
Is not available.
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Leave a message.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, William, this is Kathy and Judy calling. Apparently you don't like our show at all, and you don't have enough nerve to answer the phone when we call you. We just wonder what you're so mad about. Because you seem not only to be mad about our show, but about every other show on the air. Because every freaking comment that you post is negative.
See, we've got them all, William.
We're concerned for you. Are things not going well in your personal life? Is there a Mrs. William that's getting on your nerves? Are things not going well at your job? We're just curious about what it is that has you so angry about everything.
William,
this is Kathy and Judy really caring for you and liking you. Goodbye. Okay.
And don't call us.
We'll call
you.
So when you text us, just know that your number and we can go back and look at all of your other texts Come on, people.
So if you want to be a jerk, we might call you out on it. That's... Or we might ignore you. Or we might call you.
Which we just did for William.
Not successfully, though. It was a good message, Kath.
Thank you.
It was a real good message.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
A little passive aggressive, but still great.
You mean the part about we cared about what was going on? Yeah, that was passive aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, that was fake. You actually lied.
The truth is, we just don't care. Hi, Sarah.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Now,
I'm sorry, you guys have me cracking up.
All right. So what's your Facebook issue with liking?
And it's not even a big issue. A couple years ago, I was on a great trip with my daughter, and we were posting photos on Facebook so friends and family back home could see it. Very dear friend of mine, I commented to my daughter, she likes every picture, like within minutes. And so then I posted a dozen photos from that day. And we were both laying in bed. I posted it, and I started laughing. I'm like, Grace, Brenda likes my photo. Brenda likes my photo. Brenda likes my photo. It came up because she liked them within seconds of me doing this. And so I got home, and I asked her. I said, what's the deal? And she goes, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah,
and I'm
see.
Like, well, you
That's
won't
a
hurt my feelings.
Like
and
our
now
first
I feel
call.
I'm going to hurt her feelings if I don't like all of her posts.
Right, exactly.
And if she's a wonderful person, I love her dearly, but I'm like, she posts something, and I'm like, do I like it? Do I comment? What do I do?
Well, did you ever have the conversation with her? Like, you don't have to do that. I understand that because I don't do that with you.
I didn't say I don't. I just told her. I said, oh, my gosh, you're so silly. You don't have to like every photo. Not everybody thinks that she. Yeah, I told her that I thought she was silly. You know, but I mean, I'm not offended that she does it. It's just comical.
Now,
and I kid you, she will be the first one to like almost every post.
And she must not be off Facebook ever.
I think she's got her phone zinged in because she works.
Wow. And I know that within my family, and everybody in my family is so sweet and so nice. There really are not icky people in my family. That when anybody in the family, sisters, grandchildren, cousins, in-law, that everybody in the family likes it.
Well,
I'm compelled sometimes to like
everything
that's family related.
I have that problem as well. You know, can I just say one thing, Sarah, about what you just said? So you said you posted these pictures and then you had about 11 other ones. What is it with people? I mean, I had someone that was on vacation and they posted 4 photos plus 37 others. Well, really,
you don't
pick
have
your
to
photos.
Look at, you don't
I don't
have to look
at
them. Right.
But
you know,
really,
I was posting them like that time my husband was back home and we were in the Netherlands. I mean, we weren't in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So I was posting them and he joined Facebook specifically to look at photos that I'm going to post.
Oh, so he wanted to see everyone. Yeah.
He has never been on that. But I still didn't post. I posted, 12 photos for a day, wherever the heck we were that day, was not that many. But, I limit myself. We just got back from another great trip as a family. And I kept it to 6 photos a day. So my mom, hi, Mom, could hear or see what we were doing. Because she wanted to see our trip.
There you go.
And I probably have 300 photos, and I've probably posted 30.
Right.
Okay.
So, okay.
Throughout the week.
All right. So you're not a serial liker.
I am not,
okay.
And I hesitate to like a lot of stuff.
Okay. All right, Sarah, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, I guess the message is just, it's not personal.
An edition of Mean Tweets.
Well, they probably don't get much meaner than what the two Chicago sports casters, Julie DeCaro and Sarah Spain. Dave Ennett's with us now because you're doing the business lunch. And you've talked about this during the week?
A little bit. Not a whole lot, but I've followed it, obviously. And it's been a story that's, I think, gained a lot of traction and people are paying attention to it.
Right. It's gained national traction.
Well, let's tell
actually.
People what it is.
So these two sports, one's a sports reporter and host, an ESPNW, an ESPN radio host, And that is Julie DeCaro. And Sarah,
I think that's Sarah.
Is that, oh, that's Sarah mm-hmm. Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie DeCaro is...
Julie works for The Score here. But
that's
she used,
right.
She used to work here with us at WGN and over on our FM sports station and our website.
Right. And so you know
sure.
these women. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've...
I don't know Sarah. I know Julie, obviously, having worked with her.
Okay. These are some of the tweets that they have received
and
as women.
Not in connection with
men.
Any particular thing.
No.
Just because
general,
they are women covering sports.
You need to be hit in the head with a hockey puck and killed. Hopefully, that's one. Another. Hopefully, this skank Julie DeCaro is Bill Cosby's next victim. Here's another one. I come to sports to get away from women. Why don't you take your top off and just make me lunch? The C word has been
repeatedly
I hope you
used.
Get raped again. Was it Julie who had been raped?
Mm-hmm.
And on and on. These tweets, there was a video that was made by, I forget, not
it's for not sports, just sports.
Not just sports.
Yes.
And the video had different men who were in the sports world reading some of these tweets.
Not the men who had written them.
Not the men
right.
who had written them. And these men, these sports reporters, who I assume you know some of them.
Well, I don't think
no,
they were not sports
men,
reporters.
Yeah. Oh,
the men were just random guys.
They were just random guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sat across from the women.
Right. And the women who may or may not have read some of the awful tweets were listening to what these things said. The C word was used a lot. There was more references to rape, death. And the men who read them seemed to be so embarrassed. One man was almost tearful.
Well, sure. Because these aren't the men who wrote these tweets.
Right.
And or these texts or Facebook posts or whatever. And so they're sitting across from the recipient, and the premise is people would not say to your face what they will put on your Twitter feed or
right.
tweet at you.
Right.
Which I think is very true. And this, now again, maybe if they had somehow found the people who wrote these tweets and said, come on in, we want to put you on camera. I mean, there's no way they would do it, first of all, because anonymity is a big part of their weaponry. But
as we proved in the last half hour.
Right,
yes,
exactly. Right. But these were guys who didn't write this stuff. They had it handed to them. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know how some of them got through it. I would have had a hard time even reading the words.
I know.
And some of them did.
Some of them stopped.
They just had to stop because mm-hmm. it was so horrible. And I know, is Amy still working on her documentary about online harassment?
Yes, she is.
Amy Guth here has been, this has been sort of a pet project of hers, online harassment of women. And this is just part of that whole phenomenon. It's just such anger. It's so hard to fathom that is roiling around inside people and that this is the way it finds expression.
Because these were extreme statements. They weren't, I don't like your show, you know, or anything like that. I mean, everyone was, you just gasped after you heard it.
Well, they're wishing violence on,
right.
on these women.
Right.
It's terrible. And yet all you have to do is look at different Twitter feeds. I mean, you find this stuff all over the place. And I think some of it, people have a real, there are some real violent people
right.
out there who
right.
would probably do these things. And there are others who do it to get a rise out of the recipient or are doing it for shock value. I don't know why I don't know what motivates somebody to write that kind of thing.
You think that some of the people who say, you know, I wish you would be killed, are people who would actually do the killing, or they're just mouthing off?
I mean, how do you know? I guess, how would you know that they aren't capable of that if they're capable of writing that? That would be my fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't even imagine sending that note to somebody because I disagreed with something they wrote, or because they happen to be of a particular gender.
You know, it's interesting because at some level, not on the horrible misogynistic level, but back at the beginning of the Iraq War, Judy and I took a very oppositional position to that. And at that point, there wasn't Facebook and there wasn't Twitter, but there was email. And some of the emails that came in, some of them basically said, I wish you would die in a bombing, questioning our patriotism, questioning our position. Some of them were so horrible that security became involved.
I was going to say, because here I was wondering if the SCORE, for instance, would be, you know, offering these women some sort of protection.
Well, one of them stayed home one day.
Yeah, I know Julie put out there socially that she had to stay home from work one day because of the threats.
Right. That she was concerned that somebody could find her and know where she was.
And then we get a text already, people questioning what was the purpose of setting these women up, media hype. And I think if they're questioning why they even did this video project, they're totally missing the point.
Because
it's to bring attention to the fact that, like, and Amy's documentary is the same, like, you can't just ignore it. We shouldn't have to ignore, anybody shouldn't have to ignore the fact if you are verbally being abused online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave, now you are the nice guy of WGN. Nobody has anything bad to say about you. No, they don't. Nobody says anything bad about you. Do you get mean texts or mean emails or mean tweets?
Oh, sure. Sure.
Like with
questioning
killing
and
what?
But here's the thing. I will... It can be over a dumb thing, a sports
like you're
issue.
An idiot, they're a stupid team.
Right, okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
My feeling and my stance has always been that as long as we disagree on something, you guys probably feel this way too. If you disagree, that's fine. Discourse is okay.
Right.
It's all right to have different opinions.
Right.
But if you post something offensive,
threatening,
offensive, or even offensive about somebody
that I like,
yeah, any
right.
kind of that, then I got no time for you.
Right.
I'm not interested.
Right, and your
name. You never have felt personally menaced.
No, I have not felt menaced. No,
yeah,
never have. But I look at, for instance, Facebook. I heard your discussion about likes
and, right.
and that sort of thing on Facebook. If something pops up on my Facebook timeline that is insulting to me or to people that I care about, then forget it. You're the word friend, even though I know it's very loosely defined when it comes to Facebook, would mean that you're somebody who conducts themselves with decency and
right.
you're not going to come on my timeline and use terms or words towards somebody or just in general that I find offensive. And if you do, then see ya. I unfriend you.
Yeah. Right. And I've done the same thing, Jude. I don't know if you've ever done it on our page. I don't care if somebody says I don't like your show, but if you start degenerating into name calling and stuff like that, don't need it. Delete.
Right.
And I've done that for messages and I've done it for posts on the page.
100 years ago when I was on WGN-TV for these commentaries, I got a really hateful email that it called me a bitch. That was at the time, that was hateful for me.
Now it's almost a compliment.
Hey,
for
bitch,
us.
How you
right.
doing today?
Right.
So, and I remember I kept the postcard. I kept it because I wanted to be reminded of the fact that, you know, I'm one of those people that you either like or don't like. And there are plenty of people out there that don't like me. And just to keep
me
it
too.
In mind,
yeah.
not to get too haughty.
Exactly. 312-981-7200. Keep it nice.
Yeah, we are talking about the terrible tweets that went out to, the terrible tweets that went out to the two female sports journalists here in Chicago, and I'm blanking on the names again.
Julie DeCaro and Sarah Spain.
All right, this is Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hello, how you doing today?
All right, thanks.
Okay. See,
Jim, can you turn off your radio?
It is off. I don't have it on.
Okay.
I don't hear it.
All right.
Oh,
I don't.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from Milwaukee, and if you remember Act 10 with Governor Walker, there's a lot of you know, back and forth talking. But someone put on Facebook that Governor Walker should be killed. And a judge ruled that since the person didn't say they were going to kill him, that it was okay.
Now, so that wound up in court? That wound up in court?
Yeah, but they said because the person, I don't know if it was a male or female, said he should be killed.
In what venue? How was that? Was that in a letter to the editor?
That was on Facebook. That was on Facebook.
Governor Scott Walker.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm hearing Governor Walker and thinking Dan Walker.
You had a Walker too. Yeah. You
right. Exactly. Too. Right. Yeah.
I can't believe that made it to court.
It made it to court, and they said no, they could do that because they individually did not say they were going to kill Governor Walker.
Just that he should be.
Should be killed.
I don't think you could be convicted even if you said, I am. I mean, what, you could be convicted of a threat? I mean, I'm sure Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump all get comments like that made.
See, I'm not on Facebook.
No.
And I just heard this because it was in the news. But I just don't think I didn't know you could do that.
What do you mean? That you could threaten somebody or say, I think you should be killed?
Oh,
yeah,
no.
You could do that. You can do
that.
Oh,
no. There are people who have had the FBI show up at their front door for things they have put on Facebook. Yeah.
I'm absolutely.
Because I listen to you two. I don't go on Facebook.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're glad you're listening, Jim.
But we don't have 18 billion listeners.
Right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And this is Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thanks.
Can you hear me? Is my radio a problem or anything?
No, it's not.
Okay, so I was just saying, as long as there's anonymity, whether it's Facebook or a letter to the newspaper, and by the way, Kathy, I live across from Marion Central Catholic High School, so hi.
Hi.
Because I write occasionally letters to the editor, which I have had vetted by other people. They are not threatening any way, but they are a different opinion. And on the online comics for the Northwest Herald, they're just vicious. Because I think all you have to put down is like your initial.
Well, so, yeah, when you're responding. Yeah, I mean, some people, disagreeing with somebody instantly goes to the next level, which is name-calling, ridiculing, etc. You can't say, I disagree with your opinion because of this. They have to say, you're an idiot. And that's sort of the Donald Trump school of discourse in the last several months, that if you don't agree, you're a loser, you're an idiot. Or you have to get
stupid.
You have to get,
yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
uses
that word a lot.
Yeah, it's
always say to my friends, will you be there when they burn the cross on my lawn, because my friends say, good job, good letter. And I say, yeah, but will you be there when the cross is burning?
Well, and you have to take it with a grain of salt. People aren't going to agree with you, and some of the people that don't agree with you are not articulate enough to do it without being stupid.
Jan, thank you for the call.
Anonymity is crazy.
There you go. If they don't agree, they must be crazy.
Okay.
All right.
We want to thank a couple people.
We
want to thank Kristen Decker, our producer. We want to thank Bob Ferguson, our fabulous semi-producer and engineer, and Victoria Carter, who has been doing the news all morning.
And her sister Veronica, too. Right.
Yes.
Right. And we want to thank Dave Ennett, because he's filling in for Amy Guth on the business lunch, and it's going to be pretty sports focused.
It's going to be very sports focused, but still business focused.
Right.
Today on our Wintrust business lunch, we are going to cover the business of the NFL draft, and it's going to begin 7 hours of draft related programming here on 720 WGN with Hamp and OB and Kaz coming in at 1 o'clock for a couple of hours, then the beat at 3. But we're going to look at the business implications of the draft for the city and also for the young men who are being drafted.
Do you have the numbers for what Hamp, OB, and Kaz were when they were drafted? Were they high numbers or low numbers?
Oh, well,
or wasn't
Hamp was a first-round pick.
Okay. So that would have been how many in every round? 30? How many teams are there?
Well, there are 32.
Okay.
There are 7 rounds.
Okay, but in every round there would be 32 picks.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Hamp was in the first round.
Although I think, don't know if there were 32 teams when he was drafted.
Oh, right. Okay.
There has been expansion.
Okay.
But, yeah, so he was a first round pick.
All right.
And Kaz was more than a couple rounds down from that because he was coming off a bad knee injury.
Oh, right.
And
oh, my God, even then.
Oh, well, that's how he
that's
started
his
NFL career, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that's all coming up on the Business Lunch.
And this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.